Hello and welcome, and sorry about that, all the listeners and watchers out there. Had some slight technical issues, also, and hopefully the gremlins have gone away. So big thank you to everybody that's part of the team, and everybody out there watching our channel. We really love all of our Arsenal fans, and of course, my partner in crime, the voice of reason, the man who brings stability into my life, and that's Big Sean. How you doing, mate?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Are we all hearing? Steve. Are we all seeing? Are we all...
We're seeing. You can hear me. The internet. All the gremlins are gone. We got rid of it all.
We put a man on the moon, Steve.
A man on the moon. But listen, we did it. 60,000 people in North London, mate. 60,000 to watch a mighty Arsenal go in and crush Leicester 4-2. Crush them. You hear them like that in our hands. Absolutely amazing. The atmosphere was brilliant. All the Gunner fans were out there. I was singing and singing. There was a grown man next to me, and my apologies if he's on today. My apologies, because I was hugging a grown man for 4 goals. Straight up, I'm telling you. And I'm happy to share that. So, go on, mate.
I've heard from you, and also I've heard from a colleague of mine, Ed Hall, who was there, and I've heard from others. And basically, what I've heard from what's went on in the Emirates this weekend, because I unfortunately wasn't there, was that the air of positivity, even when Leicester scored, was so different to what we've all seen for the last 5-6 years, maybe longer.
Mate, it's different.
Afternoon, yes, thank you very much. But thank you for joining. And also, can I just quickly say, all the people, Mike, Alexis, all the people I spoke to on Twitter in the last couple of weeks, talking about the show and everything to do with this, absolutely fantastic. Hope you're all listening and going to give it a watch. And we want to hear your comments. We want to see what you think about the game on Saturday, what you think about where Arsenal are going, and anything else from the weekend that you care to speak about.
Oh, listen. We've had hundreds upon hundreds of views. I cannot honestly believe that you know, just the amount of love that we're getting right now from all the Arsenal fans all over the world. You know, I want to say, again, big, massive shout out to Steve Phillips out in Houston, Texas. Message. Doing our business, there's 60,000 people doing the business, going there. What do you think? So when we look at the Crystal Palace game, we look at where we are today. How do you feel from a statistics perspective? We're kind of going. Where do you feel? Do you feel we've hit the next level? Are we going up?
I think you've hit the next level. I think you're moving on to next level. Not quite there yet. The stats read very well for Gabriel Jesus. Just looking at him, 2 goals. 2 assists, which I think has been missed quite a lot over the weekend. 3 dribbles, successful. Won the most amount of duels in 8. Most attacking duels in 4. You've got Gabriel, who had most amount of tackles. You've got Saliba, who had most clearances with 5 and most ball recoveries with 10. You also Ben White, most defensive aerial wins, which is 3 out of 4. When you consider last year, he was getting a lot of criticism for apparently being too short. And people were worried that he wasn't going to win a lot in the air. So,
short defenders, are we going to talk about overpriced short defenders a bit later? I'm sure we are, aren't we? And you know who I'm talking about.
Well, I'm not sure that I think he's overpriced, and I'm not sure that I think the person you're referring to is necessarily a bad player. I think he is a good player. I think he just might be at a bad side right now.
Yeah. So, which is interesting. Look, I just want to actually, do you know what, Edward, mate, and again, you know, look, right back, even more impressive. So, I just before we get into the actual game, listen. 1-1, Liverpool, Crystal Palace. What does that tell you about Ben White? What he did against them, Palace, against Wilfred Zaha?
I think what you saw was let's get it straight. It was a completely different game. So Arsenal, when going to Selhurst Park, were not going all guns blazing like Liverpool went at Palace last night, hence why they got caught on the break and Zaha basically went through the centre, got ahead of that back line. I mean, Van Dijk, I must admit, has looked somewhat iffy the last couple of games. I mean, he's, don't get me wrong, he's still better than the most defenders in the league on a bad day. But I, you know, from what I saw last night, I think that it's going to be a case of Liverpool really need to be careful at the back. They are not the imperious team that possibly they were 2 years ago. Now, yeah. Palace, when they took it to them, Liverpool looked iffy. Now, don't get me wrong, that's not to say that Arsenal didn't look susceptible at the back at the same time. The game was very different. You know, Arsenal was still keeping the back door closed, whereas Liverpool were just flying freely. It was, but when looking at it closely, Ben White kept it tight at right back. Yep. The two centre backs barely.
Are you saying? Wrong. Hang on. Are you calling him Whitey Tighties?
I definitely am not calling him that. No, that is definitely a quote that you have made, and I have not endorsed.
Tighty Whitey's going on.
Tighty Whitey, yeah. A mighty white for those who again are of a certain age.
Listen. There's a couple of things. It's a very interesting the over and over and over again group that we've got. So as we all know, Sean's got the pet hate of any musical instruments at the football ground. So please, come on, let's tweet him in. Tweet him in. So find us. Tweet him. Tweet him all of the videos that you've got with musical instruments. You cannot tell me that band. Right, was awesome. Come on, the Arsenal band. Respects. Come on, respects. Love them guys. Absolutely awesome. Could have sat there and watched them all day long, drank beer, and probably would have made it to the game. Was that not? Were they not a good band?
I don't ordinarily believe in the death penalty.
Stop it.
And those are probably all very nice people.
And yeah,
I'm sure they're very good musicians. But you can't. Listen, I got stuck next to the England band at an England game once, and I've never been able to get over it.
That's all
it's
awful.
Just a pint-sized biker is coming with, I'm guessing, an answer saying, yes, you do, to I don't ordinarily believe in the death penalty. That's not fair. let's not get into that wider subject. But what we'll say... Yes. Is that, I mean, look, I don't really like musical instruments at games. Even less so is the non-musical instrument. And what I mean by that is like the Portsmouth guy with a bell.
So if anyone knows him, listen to all the Twitterati out there. If anybody knows the Portsmouth guy with a bell, bring him
on. Run him over in your car.
Please bring him. No, let's not do no. Let's bring him on. Bring him on because I want to say it. The other one I want to put a shout out for actually, but one I remember is if anybody knows Jamie O'Hara, right? If anybody out there knows Jamie O'Hara, I want him on this show. Get me Jamie O'Hara. I want him to justify to me why he believes in the next 5 years Tottenham are going to absolutely supersede Man City, Liverpool, the mighty Arsenal, everybody else. So the poster boys for mediocrity are going to take us. So someone go out and find me Jamie O'Hara. We're going to do this.
But Jamie O'Hara is, I mean, as it goes, he's not the worst. The problem is that he's trying to carve himself a radio career in which where he's saying things which are quite...
He's not doing well though, is he? Come on.
Well, I don't know. He's doing okay. Look, I'm not knocking what he's doing, but what I'd say is that now and again he sort of goes through the Adrian Durham route, which is I'm going to say something, just really that maybe I don't agree with, but it's kind of shocktastic, and it will get lots of people to call in and disagree with him. When he's on a, if you listen to him late at night, he's not so bad. When you know that there's probably they've got the listeners, they know who they got it. It's radio, mate. It's sort of they have to keep the drum rolling.
But I want to listen. Let's just get on to the game, mate. Let's get on to the game. It's Jamie O'Hara. Yeah, get him on the show. And I want Gunnosaurus. Someone knows Gunnosaurus. You know, there's something interesting that I noticed when I watched the game as well, and there was a 2-3 thing. So I think if we look back at the Palace game itself, we talked about Odegaard and some of the statistics on Odegaard, and I think he had a blinding match. I actually believe Odegaard had a blinding match, but I saw a different tactic that actually happened. And we've got to remember Leicester put their best team out. This was the best team that they could put out. I thought the fans, what they said about Jamie Vardy's lady. Guys, that come on, guys and girls, that was just a little bit. There was a little bit on the edge, but when we look at that Leicester team, and there are no mugs.
Well,
and,
you know, grass.
Yes. That's it. Doesn't matter. It doesn't. And so he did get stick for that ridiculous dive and penalty.
He should have been booked.
Sorry, somebody's racing his mate. So little biker, is that you running up and down the going up and down my house? So look, but the bottom line is right. So what it was is a lack of respect, and I don't mean that from a professional perspective. But listen, they were kicking seven barrels out of all of the players. They're all going down and absolutely battering them. And do you know what was brilliant is watching the Arsenal team get back up, just running straight out. They didn't care. Well, no respect for that.
It's funny you say that. It's funny you say that because when looking at the stats for this, because when I watched it, I thought that. But when I look back at the stats for this, do you know that? In terms of fouls, Arsenal made
fouls.
50. Yeah, Arsenal made 15 fouls and Leicester only made 9.
Did they?
See, the thing, what I think is happening, and this is where it becomes a bit, it becomes a bit sort of. An illusion, I suppose. Arsenal have started to deploy a Pep tactic taught to Arteta in the tactical foul, which I've personally, my wife has just come in with, haha, she's a grass. She is a grass.
But love you, Bobby.
The tactical foul, you know, it's just part of a football and it's smart. You know, if they are going to run free and they're going to, you know, bear down on goal, and you've got a player who's not on a booking, and he can afford to do that, then that's what you do. We brought in two City players not because they're rubbish, you know.
No.
It's bringing in a system as well. Loki 73. I'm having dinner with Gunnosaurus. Good chap, but he keeps missing the toilet. Messy green sod. Well.
Or what can you say?
Looks like he'll be coming to your house, not mine.
Yeah, okay. I think, more distancing. But it's interesting you say that, because what we're actually looking at is when we start to see, when I was watching the teams, they're playing in pairs. It's a really interesting way they're playing in pairs. And so what we're seeing was, and again, the same thing, and Zinchenko actually came out and said this, interestingly, in a podcast. Zinchenko actually came out and actually said that there's still some bits to pick up. But what I'm noticing is that we've got Zinchenko running. In groups of two. So we're seeing groups of two actually coming together and actually starting to move forward, which is where the first goal, and I'm sorry, that Jesus goal was pure filth. It was absolutely filthy. I was watching that go in, coming right up to the line, and it was like a little sidekick, and he knew exactly where he was going. And the interplay between Martinelli was just frightening. It was absolutely frightening to watch. What a player. What an absolute rough diamond he is.
Gabriel Jesus, that goal reminded me, for people of a certain age, of the old Brazil captain, Socrates, from 82 and 86 World Cup, where the way he used to take penalties was zero backlift. And he just he picked that spot, and no goalkeeper was getting that. That was just absolutely textbook. And then the second goal was absolutely textbook Jesus, you know, in the right place, right time. And he also got two assists, which is being missed. Yeah. You know, apparently the report came through that he was unhappy afterwards because he felt that he should have got four. Now, that's the kind of attitude that they bought him for. That's the idea. Zinchenko, what he did on the byline was absolutely outrageous. But it's that kind of quick thinking you did not see last year.
No. No, and that is just what excites me so much about watching this team, just watching the way they're going, watching the trajectory that they're on. Right, and it's interesting watching how Twitter is starting to change, and everybody's kind of going, oh, yes, we're all in the project, we're all in the project, yeah, we're all watching it, and it's, you know, have faith. And it's the same idiots that are turning around and saying Ten Hag was a better, you know, there's one guy that come out and turned around and said, I'm sure Adam's going to touch on it, like Ten Hag, you know, Tin Hat, you know, Phil Mitchell, whatever you want to call him.
He's the guy.
Yeah, 10 weeks. Yeah, 10 weeks is actually going to be the man who's going to be replacing Arteta and all that. Well, I tell you what, the team that we've got right now, you know, the way that we're sort of set up, I still think we're a bit light in a few areas. Absolutely, but it's just the pace that the way that, and I know once this clicks,
I know. It's an attitude. So this all comes from, and don't get me wrong, I haven't watched any of the All or Nothing, but I can pretty, you know, I've read some stuff and I can pretty much guess what's going to be in it. Now, we all had conversations last year. We all had different opinions about what should and shouldn't have been done. Now, you can testify to what I felt about it. And I felt that Aubameyang needed to be sent out the door. And if you were going to have young players coming up, they could not be looking up to a player. It doesn't matter how good he is. You can't have him looking up to a player doing whatever he wants and believing he's better than everybody else at the club.
Listen, mate.
Whether he's captain or not.
North London Derby, you do not turn up late for the North London Derby, right? Of all the games of the season, you cannot turn up late for North London Derby. For God's sake, come on.
When you are the highest paid player at the club, you don't turn up late to anything. You are supposed to be the bar that, you know, to where everything is set. And he let them and the club down repetitively. And it became, you know, something that couldn't be sustained.
I wonder is but positive of it. You know, ultimately, I saw there was a couple of players that for me were men of the match, not man of the match, men of the match. That was Thomas Partey and Granit Xhaka. Those guys absolutely played at the next level, that next level. When you talk about, you know, I remember you talking about Odegaard last season. Yeah. You know, you and I had long debates about Odegaard.
BX Gunner, what's that, Jesus put Alba to shame in two games. I think I agree.
Mate, BX Gunner, you're absolutely spot on. If I could give you a present, I would, but we're just going to give you.
With you saying about how the Arsenal fans have been on Twitter as well, Edward Hall, as questionable as the band were, it only added to the atmosphere of the unnerving positive atmosphere from the whole match.
The way that the likes of Thomas Partey actually dictated the play that gave Xhaka the capabilities to run in on the left. And he's passing. And honestly, his statistics, I would love to see what his statistics are here and now to what they were last year, because I know he's probably up to another gear. Those two together, to me, absolutely bossed it. They bossed that whole midfield. And, you know, Yuri Tielemans, and I'm a bit of a fan of him. I do like him. I do like what he could potentially bring as cover, as rotational cover that sits in. And again, love to the Arsenal fans. We'll see you next week, Yuri Tielemans. What a charm to be going on, to be shouting at him. Clicked. Odegaard was, again, it was no longer the ball. And absolutely positive that Arsenal are watching our podcast. And let me tell you for why, because all of a sudden they picked up on your point that Ramsdale's got a right foot on him. And that's it. Yeah. And they were actually working on that.
See, it
problem solved.
It doesn't seem like rocket science for an opposition team. You know, if you know that he's right-footed and he's got no left foot, then what are you going to do when the ball gets played back to him? I mean, Jamie Vardy, even at his age, is still quick.
Yes, he is.
I mean, despite, you know, what we may or may not think of him, he could catch out players. Madison is quick. There's lots of players that are quick in that Leicester side, and we will come up against sides that are even quicker that will make life
interesting.
Hard.
Kind of conversation around Barbie, isn't it? Because he is actually immensely talented. He's immensely talented as a striker. He's odious little man who looks like, Steptoe and Son. And for those of you that aren't used to Steptoe, go have a good look at who he is. And that penalty, the quote penalty was... Yeah, exactly. He's got a face you could never grow tired of slapping, if I'm honest with you. And if you know Vardy, let him come on and have a little chat, because I'll be more than happy to spend five with him. But no, mate, have we got any statistics going back?
What?
On the Leicester games?
On previous Leicester games?
Yeah, previous Leicester games. We've got anything on that?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't have anything from years gone by. I did have a look at some of the games, and the thing is that when looking at games from the past 3-4 years, it was so unrecognizable to what we saw at the weekend that it was senseless to even compare it. The only thing I will say, when you look at Arsenal sides of the successful eras, everything comes from out wide. It's been a textbook Arsenal thing that has always happened, even going back as far as Liam Brady, whether it be Robert Pires, whether it be Paul Merson, whether it be, even further forward than that. It's always been the textbook of how things are done, with normally a good striker and a ball winner in the centre. But when looking at the Leicester games the last few years, they've been fairly dull affairs, to be honest with you. I think what happened on Saturday was something completely different. It's something completely different to what we've seen in general for the last few years. Mate. I mean, like Ed had said in the comments there about the positive atmosphere and actually being quite unnerving. He's also said about best game from Xhaka in a long, long time. Seems rejuvenated by Partey being that rock behind him and confident to roam forward. And also be it's gonna that game against Leicester will be an instant classic in 15, 20 years. People will look back at it as the turning point. Very, very possibly, because the thing is that the way that, as you were alluding to, the way that Partey and Xhaka were playing, you can't have a player go forward and be attacking and almost maybe sometimes move into a number nine role like Xhaka was. And I am the first to hold my hands up and say I have been very critical of Xhaka over time for ill discipline. And what I felt was not take enough responsibility as somebody who is an international footballer and experienced one at that. And played at international tournaments when playing around younger players. But what I will say is that with Thomas Partey covering him properly behind, he was able to go and do that job well.
Absolutely.
Whether there's somebody else out there that could do that job better, I still don't doubt. But at the moment, if he plays like he did on Saturday, now bear in mind, Arsenal are going to play a lot of teams a lot better than Leicester. Leicester are going to have a difficult season. I don't think that's... I mean, I don't know how you feel about that, but I think they are going to have a very tricky year. I'll be surprised, actually, maybe if Brendan Rodgers even makes it to the end of the season.
Effective. Having a backup, having that backup that can actually come in and rotate in and out, Shaka the same, because we're not going to be able to go through the whole season. We're not going to be able to go to Europa League. We're not going to be able to go to the FA Cup. We're not going to be able to do all the different bits that go with it. What pushed and loved and showed him what it actually means to be part of the Arsenal family to 60,000 people. I mean, there were about four Leicester people. It was about the only people that can afford to get there. But it was about sort of, there's all the way that he did that on goal and this. Clap. a developmental piece for everybody. For, yeah, it just meant so much to actually bring him forward and actually make sure that he is, you know, yeah, he realises just his position in this team and how important he is actually to the Arsenal. It's got to be, for him, you could see it broke him. It broke him. When that goal went in, it absolutely broke him. The one I would pick out, actually, is James Maddison. So James Maddison, what a massive, massive, massive idiot. Seriously, rolling around, absolutely screaming for everything, you know, screaming around and sort of holding his thing. He was the epitome of an Italian player in the World Cup game. Like, seriously, he absolutely was. And he should be ashamed of himself. He should be absolutely ashamed of himself the way he played. So, yeah, the other part is Leicester, sort of, you know, they scored their goals less than 2 minutes. It was less than 2 minutes we were scoring goals against them. So you know, I kind of get it. It would have been that. It would have been 4-1 if it wasn't for Saliba's own goal. And you know, it's 4-2 and the way it sits. I mean, Madison's goal at the end. I sort of felt when I looked at it, everybody's very tired. But in Kieran Tierney came on. Oh my God, you know. And again, that kid sort of picked up. I hope to God that we don't sell him to Man City. The whole Man City conversation. I really, really don't want him going there.
I really don't understand why that would happen, though.
No, nor do I. You know, nor do I. When I look at it,
why would they sell us the left back and then buy someone who essentially is being treated as second choice at the place where they sold their second choice? That makes no sense.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
I kind of say, well, you know, there's more than one source that's out there saying it. Interesting one, of course, with Pepe on the bench. And I think we sort of sent a thing out. It looks like Nice is coming in for him. Mm. And the stat was, I think it was about 680 minutes, wasn't it? He's done 680 minutes under Arteta. 70 million we paid for him. 70 million for that guy.
He's not done it. We talked about it in the first show about him. And actually, you know, I think it was something ridiculous, like he'd earned 14 grand a minute. And it maybe it's not for lack of trying. I can't say. I'm not there. You know, I can't say how hard the lad works on the training pitch. But it just don't... He's not been able to cut it. He just isn't... He's too lightweight. He's too lightweight a player. There seems to be no end product there with him.
No, I don't think. It's a massive shame. I would have liked to have seen him do better at Arsenal, to be honest with you. But apparently Nice are in for him now, mate. So off he goes. I've got to wish him the best of luck. I've got to wish him the best of luck for that. Because, you know, we've got Pino. There's this whole thing. Have you seen this one with Pino that's coming on? Which sounds weird in a whole sorts of thing. So he's a Spanish under 21. Absolutely. Like, I've been watching quite a few bits on him. He looks absolutely amazing. He's going to give Saka a run for his money. I thought Saka had a bit of a quiet game, actually, on Saturday. But what was interesting was Saka ended up with about four or five sort of defenders around him, making massive amounts of space for Jesus to just come in. You know, that just come in and just absolutely cause havoc.
A lot is going down the left, isn't it? I don't think it's a thing of him. I wouldn't say he was having a particularly quiet game as if he did anything wrong. It just, everything was going down the left. That was successful. Leicester were having a torrid time on that side.
Hang on. We're going to talk about the twos again here. Yeah. So it wasn't, you had Zinchenko and Martinelli going riots. You had Partey and Xhaka filling in behind them, the overlap between. So what we had is Zinchenko actually moving with Xhaka all the time. You know, Jesus being an absolute pain. That left-hand side is a nightmare. Add to that, right, we had Odegaard and Saka running in the actual right-hand side as well, causing absolute nightmare. So Justin, who I think is a great name for a horse, by the way, so Justin was playing down the right. He had an absolute torrid, torrid time. I mean, Saka, so Bukayo was absolutely running him ragged. What could he do? Kick the living crap out of Bukayo Saka. That's all he could do. All the way through. So it was interesting, the interplay that sat behind. Our back four actually looked fairly good. Our back four look fairly good. And when we look at that Pino guy, so what we're looking at, apparently we've got 45 million into him, blah, 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 that kind of goes in. He is exactly like Bukayo Saka. He just reminds me of Bukayo Saka when I watch him play. And I think it's exactly what we need for someone to rotate with Saka, but also give him a run for his money. Very, very talented guy.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I would say that does need improving on when it comes to, and we'll find out when playing against bigger clubs, more successful clubs, is the possession was 50-50 at the weekend. Now, I know it doesn't mean anything, but
you
get punished heavily by a side like Manchester City or Liverpool.
We're going to talk about those. Hang on a sec. We've got a good point there from Edward, actually.
Yeah.
A lot of issues with defence, to be fair. Not really. I can't say I agree with you on that one. I think the Saliba own goal obviously tarnished that a little bit for the kid. I think he played particularly well. I thought Ben White played particularly well. Tommy Eshu looked like he was a bit lost, if I'm honest with you, when he came on. But I think we've got to temper this a little bit, gentlemen. We've got to temper this a little bit. It's the second game of the season. Yeah, everybody's getting up to speed, and there's a lot of people. So I get what you're saying, Edward. I absolutely get what you're saying on that.
I think he's right with his next comment, which is the crowd was infinitely more forgiving of the normal Arsenal mistakes. Marquinhos, Vieira will play roles in the first team of the season. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah,
I agree with that. I mean, I would agree in the sense of saying I saw that the defence had problems where it will be fallible. But I think it's almost like moving water. You know, it kind of, to be able to attack well, you are going to have to leave holes at the back. You can't not. It's, I mean, like we actually spoke about Liverpool at the beginning of this against Palace, they were all full and attacking at home, but at the back they were virtually non-existent because they were attacking. It's just, you can say, oh, you can lead some people. The way the game's played now is completely different. You know, it's all about the passing. That's why the possession stat actually worries me more than what, you know, how the defence looked. I think when it comes to it, the likes of Gabriel and Saliba look like they can stand up to a good challenge, make a decent decision. I know Saliba's got an own goal. Defenders score own goals. It's not a big deal. Yeah. It's really not a big deal. He had to do something with it. There was a player in behind him. He had to do something.
Let me just say, BXG, mate, I've got to pick up on something here. It's an interesting stat, right? It's an interesting thing you're saying. Right here, yeah?
Yeah.
So, BX, sorry, mate, Tavares ain't coming back. Marquinhos and Vieira will play roles in the team this season. How amazing is it and how brilliant is it that we're actually turning around and saying, hey, look, we've got this Vieira guy, we've got Marquinhos as well, and he's going to come in and we're going to play. When have we been able to turn around? We're like turning around and saying, oh, yeah, we've got some 14-year-old that we've just bring in from Hale End and he's the one that's actually going to take it up. We've actually got a proper team. We've actually got rotational piece. We've got five subs that we can bring in as part of this. And we've got decent players that can actually come in and fill that piece that sits within it. I think our defence is actually pretty good defence. When we look at, and Sean, I think you made a good point. You look at the Liverpool defence right now. Liverpool have done a Man City on us, haven't they? They're starting really slow. Yeah, and exactly, BXG. Mate, we finally have options. And we're going to have some more, I think, because, you know, Mare's gone. Thank God, because that didn't work too well. I don't believe that Tavares will be coming back. He is an amazing player and they've got an amazing engine on him. And I've said this before, I do not believe that he's going to ever come back to Arsenal. I think if he's sold, he's like Mavropanos. And Mavropanos, to be honest with you, hello, Guna, mate, 70. No, thank you very much. Good to see you, mate, again. But Mavropanos, for me, was actually a good player, a good defender, and I think we should have kept him, but that's a different story. I just love the energy and vibe and the hype, and I don't know whether it's the all or nothing thing. I just don't know where it is. You know, what I'm not seeing is like, oh God, you know, I remember as a fan, right? I remember coming out of the Arsenal train station and seeing hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of Arsenal fans with a big banner that said, "In Wenger we rust." Yeah. You know, then I saw the Kroenke out thing that sort of went in, and I kind of fell in line with that for a little bit. But then, you know, we saw the guy from Spotify, and I've spoken about this before, the guy coming from Spotify with no real plan. It's like, I just want to, you know, I want to buy it. We've got the Nigerian guy who runs all the aluminium plants and all that stuff saying, "I'm definitely going to buy Arsenal." None of them got a plan. None of us actually got a plan. So I said, "This is what we're going to do." And I've got to put it to the Kroenkes, right? And I've got to put it to all the Arsenal fans that sit out there. They always turn around and go, "Kroenke out, and Kroenke this and Kroenke that." They've given Arteta a lot of money. We've got you know, and whether you like him or not, they've actually backed him. They've actually got a plan, and we can see what that plan is. And do you know what? The fans are engaged. 60,000 people engaged, singing a song, singing along, singing behind that team. And that, to me, is the most amazing part of it. And I absolutely love that about our Arsenal fans as we sit there and go in there. There is a momentum building right now. There is a momentum driving it. And Sean, I think you hit that point absolutely spot on. Absolutely spot on when you turned around and said, "It's going to get better. It's going to." You said that. Well, we had a chat offline. So Sean and I.
Well, so it's been done correctly, and the reason why it's been done correctly. So you know, the thing is, football's not a game that has changed that much in the last 30 years. I would have said. So anybody that turns around and says, "Oh, you can buy the league," you can't. That's absolute nonsense. Chelsea didn't buy the league. I know there's a lot of people that say they did. They didn't.
They're good players, mate. They're good players. Drogba was a monster.
Blackburn back in 95 did not buy the league. You know, Man City did not buy the league. And I'll tell you for why. It takes about 10 years to get your club in the right order from bottom to top. Now, what that involves is employing the right people to do the right jobs all over the club. You know, that is from right down to the youth academy, right up to the manager. So all of those things must work in unison. It's the same reason why England didn't see any international success of any description or progression until they cleaned the slate and started again. They didn't bring in a manager that was like renownedly successful at club level. They brought in somebody that was there from the beginning of the process of St. George's Park. It's the same with clubs. Man City's owners came in. It took about 10 years before they saw real success. You got Liverpool. The second coming of Kenny Dalglish is when they cleared the decks again. And then 10 years later, they are where they are. Arsenal, they've stuck with Arteta.
Yes.
You know, if they'd listened to a lot, and it is a lot of people who wanted Arteta out, I think the club would be in even worse a state this year than they have been. But
well, you've got to look at Man United. Let's just look at Man United right now. Like, and you know, when I look back at the Invincibles, when we sort of talk about the Invincibles, we talk about that. Who was the nemesis? Who was the arch rival? Who was the hooded claw? It was always Manchester United.
I mean, that year was obviously the year after was when Mourinho came in at Chelsea. And obviously,
I wish he stayed at Spurs. I do wish he stayed at Spurs.
What, Mourinho?
Yeah.
Listen, everything Jose Mourinho has said about the last few clubs he's been at has turned out to be true.
But listen, so you know, the fact of the matter is, right, so we've got this great connection with the fans. We've got this absolutely amazing team that's going on, and we're going to have ups and downs, right? Seriously, guys, we're going to our podcast is also all rainbows and you know and unicorn farts at this moment in time, and it's all amazing. We will have there will be a downtime. Yeah, you know, we will get battered by some of the other teams, and we've got to take that.
Yes. I can see progression forward. Manchester City are going to absolutely murder us. Yeah, I don't, you know, and not real big issue with that because because at the end of the day, have you watched them? I mean, it's almost like cheating for them to have signed out. I nearly called him Alfie Haaland, to have signed Erling Haaland. Jesus, there was a flashback to his dad. I don't think I've ever seen someone. Who was it said it? I think it was Mickey Gray, who was on the radio the other day. Said they were watching the play. Said, I don't think I've ever seen a man run like that on a football pitch.
Yes, yeah, he's like a transformer. Is that a transformer of a ponytail? Seriously, and not a good one either.
It's like the Usain Bolt thing. It's like he doesn't look like what he's supposed to be.
Not at all. Not at all. But let's look. Let's just kind of wrap up the Leicester game. So for me, I'm seeing massive, massive change. I'm seeing a huge change in the way we play. I'm seeing a connection with the fans that is just, I just love it. I just, every single minute of it, Sean, I absolutely enjoy it. And seeing us actually singing and enjoying our football. And do you know what? There will be the bad times. Guys, we're going to have the bad times. That's going to absolutely happen. Mm. Right? But I just think we've got a bit of a unity and a bit of a disrespect for the rest of the league that says, actually, I don't really care. We're Arsenal Football Club. You come and take us. Or we're going to come to your manor and we're going to do stuff to you.
Rich made a good point the other day on his preview in the game. And he said about, you know, looking at these first fixtures. So the next fixture, am I right in thinking, is Bournemouth?
That's correct. That's going to be a difficult one as well.
It will, but it is eminently winnable. They're also coming off the back of, you know, a real tanning. I mean, that would have hurt, that one. They would have expected not to come away with anything, but I mean, they were lucky that it weren't a lot worse. Also, you know, it kind of, after that, it's Villa then Fulham. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Villa then Fulham.
All those games are winnable or at the very least a draw. So Rich said, and I agree with him, I couldn't agree more, football's about momentum. Now, winning is a habit, same as losing's a habit. You know, that's why I've never really been a big believer in dropping massive parts of the squad for, you know, cup competition sometimes when you're in the middle of a good league run. I feel like you should try to keep that momentum going, even if that cup competition is not particularly important to you.
Yes,
it's still a thing of keep the momentum going, keep the fans on side, keep everybody at the club, you know, really winning and believing. And you know, you'll be surprised what it can do. The main example of that, main sort of exponent I've ever seen of that, was when Leicester won the league. You know, a team won the league there that wasn't as good as the teams around it. But it won the league because once the snowball started, they couldn't be stopped.
But that's not true, Sean. There's only one team that actually beat them both home and away, and that was the Arsenal, bruv. North London, we did it. You know, Danny Welbeck put a goal in the back of it. But I know what you mean. So what we've got is we've got scrappers. We've seen like Nottingham Forest this weekend, like against West Ham. What a game. What an absolute game. They're scrapping for this. They know even second game in, they're scrapping for survival. What you've got is very organised team. You saw Brentford absolutely batter Manchester United. And I mean, honestly, they handed them their backsides on a plate. It was embarrassing to watch. I mean, De Gea...
You sent me a message, didn't you, about the stats for that game? And said that statistically, actually, Man United didn't... statistically across the game weren't like that inferior to Brentford, and said, you said about how the second goal hurt them, and I was like, well, the first and fourth didn't really help either.
What I said was the second goal was an absolute screamer. Like, seriously, that was almost like an Arsenal. It's like Martinelli when he did Conte. It was like watching that second goal was absolutely dreamy. And I got to say, hats off to De Gea to come out and said, had a bit of a bad day. You know,
I ain't got no time for that. See, I disagree with you on this one. See, like,
what, bad day in the office?
No, Declan, no, you definitely had a bad day, obviously. But Declan Rice did this on Sunday as well after missing a penalty against Nottingham Forest. You know, he put a message out saying, I'm sorry, I can only apologise for missing a penalty. Why are they apologising?
They don't. It's not A. They don't mean to do it. B. It doesn't make any sense. It's really bizarre thing to do.
No, sometimes it takes a big man to put your hand up against mistakes. But listen,
when we look at, yeah, sure, but not. I don't think making mistakes on the pitch is not.
I got to look at that, and it was interesting. It was interesting. There's a couple of tweets. So anybody that follows me, Mr. Teddy is on the and you DM me, and I'll explain why I'm called Mr. Teddy is. But anybody that follows me, there's a really great Manchester United fan that I follow, and I'm not going to say who it is because he is just absolutely legendary. Someone sent him the Premier League upside down, so they actually rotated it upside down and said, "Oh look, Man United are top of the league." Now, who would have said that? You got Cristiano Ronaldo. Turned around and said, "Who's the boy that we took in from? They took him from Germany. English player.
Jadon Sancho.
That's the guy. He's had more managers than goals. More managers than goals. That's that Jadon Sancho. That tells me everything I need to know, right? So if when I look at that, when I look at a team like Manchester United, they're going through what they're going through. It's like Arsenal, sort of. 3 or 4 years ago, towards the end of Emery, just not as bad. I mean, we weren't as bad as that, in any way. For playing as well, what they did, it's just an amazing way it's changed it that you have such amazing players, you have these managers that kind of come in, but when you've got the backing of the owners, when you've got that capability, the momentum, you've got the backing of the fans as well. I mean, the fans have been going mental. I mean, the Man United fans have been going absolutely mental for the abject, players that are earning millions upon millions of pounds, and they're just not doing what they're supposed to do. You know, and we have every right as fans because we're the ones that, hang on a second. I'm going to put that up. So BXG, mate, absolutely agree. Would we take him? So here you go, BXG. Would we take him at Arsenal? Would you take Jadon Sancho at Arsenal? Because I wouldn't. I put Martinelli up against him all day long.
I watched Sancho when he played for Dortmund because they're quite like a watch of the Bundesliga. Because I was about to mention about Marcus Rashford as well. And I'm looking at players all over that team and I'm going, they're not bad players. They're not bad players.
Hang on a sec. We got a bit of a descent. We got descent in the ranks here. So there was a yes and there was a no. I wouldn't take him. I would not take him over Martinelli. Martinelli is a beast, an absolute beast.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be taking him over of Martinelli. You'd be taking him for strength and depth.
No, we don't need him. We genuinely don't need him. We don't need him. I want to see what Marquinhos does. So I think Marquinhos is even better.
There'd be other areas that would need sort of attention.
Yes,
before that.
We need another striker. I know this sounds crazy. We need another striker. We genuinely need another striker. We need a unit. We talked about this. We need an absolute unit to go in there against the Fulhams of this world and things like that.
It's not Marcus fucking Rashford. No.
Quite like Rashford. I'll take your word on that one.
No, I think the only way he's useful at the moment is if you give him a tin opener and send him down a soup kitchen.
No, come on. So listen. I want to talk about a couple of things, right? So another London derby. I want to just talk about. As Edward said, Rashford could be a good water boy. Like that one, mate. No to Sancho, definitely. So listen, I want to talk about the other London. I want to talk about London derby in the fact that Tottenham and Chelsea, right? Steve, absolutely. I need to pay my internet bills, mate. I don't know what's going on at the moment, but I've got my wine. That's all that matters. Yeah, sorry, he doesn't bring that. I've got my wine of the day. So listen, quick one. I want to talk about internet. Antonio Conte, what an idiot. What an absolute idiot to get into that fight with Tuchel. What the hell was all that about?
Well, Conte and Tommy Tickle. Yeah. I don't know. It's what he's good at. He's, to be fair, he's a wind-up merchant. And as much as
listen, whatever you think of Spurs or not, and Antonio Conte is a serial winner as a manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, everywhere he's been, he's done it.
Not feeling hoping, it. I'm not feeling it.
Leave at the end of last season, but sadly he hasn't. Yeah, we'll see. I thought it was a great game. Great game of football.
Did you really think that? Do you really think? Yeah, I thought it was. Yet again, we're talking about negativity. We're talking about really bad refereeing. You know, Cucurella's hair being pulled. You know, we're talking about all of the. So we're talking about all the negativity. Yet again, Harry Kane rolling around like the, you know, the sort of librarian that he is, and you know my view of Harry Kane. So I just thought it is hang on a sec. Hang on a sec. Coming to you live from Houston, Texas is Big Steve, my main man, who actually so we work together. He actually saved me today, coming from Houston, Texas. Love you, Steve, mate. I owe you a big beer. But listen, going back to that whole thing, Harry Kane, sorry, get over yourself. So see you later, pint size, mate. The whole Harry Kane thing, absolute piece. I'm sorry, you cannot pull somebody's hair right in the box. You pull somebody's hair. Was it Peter Crouch that did it? You know, at one of the World Cups. He did it. He did it. But he pulled the guy's.
Yeah, in Trinidad and Tobago, he pulled the guy's hair when he jumped for a header.
Yeah, jumped for a header. So you know, I'm sorry, that second goal shouldn't have stood. So for me, when I looked at him, so it was interesting because Tottenham actually played in a four. So steaming forward. Hello, mate. I didn't realise you was in Charlotte. Sorry, BXG. My apologies, my friend. So we got a lot of our American cousins over at the minute. You know,
yeah,
guys. Big wave.
Anybody that's come on seeing the show from any of the advertising that they've seen anywhere from around the world, hello and welcome as well if it's your first time. As we said on a lot of our advertising, this is all for the fun.
We're never very serious. I'm normally through a bottle of wine by the end of it. But let me just get back to that, right? So I saw Sessegnon, I saw Kulusevski, I saw Son, and I saw Kane all running up in the four coming into it. I think, is it Ramirez? Is it not Ramirez? Was it Ramirez? Who's the Tottenham defender? Should have been off. Ramiro. That's it, Ramiro. Yeah. So I just think he should have been off. End of story. Like, seriously. Him and Cucurella having that big argument that the whole piece is sort of sat behind. Just absolute. And it just proved to me they're just absolute thugs. There's no class to them. You know, so I'm not particularly worried about them. And I'm looking forward to the North London Derby because I think that's going to be one of the defining moments for Arsenal when Tottenham turn up and we beat them. We will beat them. We will beat them emphatically. And I have no issues around that. I don't think Sessegnon's good enough, especially on the left. Martinelli's going to absolutely, going to drive straight through them. I think Romero, we're just going to stand on his feet. And Dyer, oh my God, he's just another orc that sits there in there. So Conte just needs to, you know, just needs to kind of get over himself because Tuchel actually is a good manager. And when I look at, what's his name? Koulibaly or whatever his name is. What a goal. Yeah. Well, that was absolutely stunning.
Yeah, it's great.
Absolutely stunning goal. Stunning goal that went in. So my view of it is, my view is, come the North London Derby, we're going to be, I'm fairly confident there's and away. So I'm happy. I just sort of look at the team. I genuinely believe that when Conte gets another opportunity like PSG or something like that, he'll be gone. He'll leave these idiots behind.
Maybe. We'll see. I mean, listen, I rate both teams. Looking at it objectively, I think they're both sides that... I think Chelsea are the better side. I was actually surprised by how good Chelsea were. If I'm honest, I thought Chelsea, as I said on previous podcasts, that are going to have a few problems this season. But they looked all right. Bix Gunners just said if Alba goes to Chelsea, cue fireworks. I think Chelsea would be making a mistake to sign him.
Yeah, I think he could do a job for them, though, generally. Like, you know, because I'm over the Uber thing. I'm absolutely over that. I genuinely believe it's going to be a... I think that should be a good buy for Chelsea.
I don't. I think it's a short-term solution to a long-term problem.
So hang on a sec. For my man, Steve. Steve, so the general consensus is right now is Aubameyang is going to go to Chelsea. So that'll be an interesting situation.
Who gets the goals for Chelsea? That's going to be their problem all year. Yeah, maybe. I think Raheem Sterling is going to chip in with some goals. I think Havertz will chip in with goals. I don't think they'll have an out-and-out sort of 25-goal striker.
Yeah, so...
as Ed Hall said, he'll do a good job for them as long as he has plenty of time off to see his mum.
Absolutely. Bless him. Bless him. Listen, any woman in the world you can trust. So we're getting towards the end, right? We're getting towards the end. We're getting towards the end of the podcast, right? So there's a couple of things that I got to say. What I think is, and what I love about all of this, is the fact that the connection that our fans have with the team right now, the energy and drive and enthusiasm that we're seeing within the team. I want to see a backup for Thomas Partey, because I genuinely believe that he's going to we're going to have an injury problem at some point. Sits within it. I am not impressed with Tottenham right now. And guys, look, if you know Tottenham fans that want to come in and talk to me about it and talk to Sean about it, happy to do that as well, in a nice way, not in a negative way. I think Man United are having real issues. I think the monsters for me for the Premier League right now, Man City, all day long. Right. Like, honestly, when I watch Haaland right now, he is a nightmare. So I just want to get those two losses out of the way, because they're going to be losses. I want to get those losses done, over and done with. But Steve, the problem is actually Tottenham can't score, mate. Tottenham can't score in the way that you think anymore. I think everybody's sorted them out. I just think for me, we've got Bournemouth next week. It's going to be an amazing, amazing game. It's going to be really brilliant. And in Hampshire, it's our part of the neck of the woods.
It's
in Dorset, isn't it? Yeah, they're in Dorset. So come on, Sean, what's your prediction, mate? What's your prediction?
What, for the Bournemouth game?
Yes.
I think 2-0. 2-0 Arsenal.
Right. So, Arsenal, I had a chat with Arsenal Cat today. We're going to get a jingle for Arsenal Cat over the next few weeks. I sort of had a proper think about it. And I looked at the statistics and I'm thinking 2-1. And I think it's going to be a closer game than we all think. But I still think we're going to come away with 3 points. Because ultimately, we all love Arsenal. Come on. You're watching this because you love Arsenal. It's not because you love anybody else. So, Sean, mate, I just want to say a massive, massive thank you to you for spending some time with me again. And your amazing lady for coming on. I want to thank all of those amazing people that are putting the questions in. If you want to come on the podcast, guys, DM us. It's not a problem, Steve. You just email me directly at work. It's not a problem at all. If you want to come on, hold on. BX Gunner, mate. Coming on next week. Come and just DM us. Come and find us. Come and. That have watched us, all the people that have been on our feed have all watched the game, have all watched our podcast, are all our fans, everybody that's out there that likes this, you like for spending your time listening to me and my best mate Sean for being there. That's it. Have a great one. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.